Thank you, Jesus. Once again, we get to be in your house with your people and opening your word. I pray that we will have an awesome time of fellowship with you today as we study about loving each other in a different way. Amen. Romans 12:13, practice hospitality. How many of us have a tendency to practice hospitality? I'm looking around the room. I see quite a few. Yeah. It's one of those things that you have opportunities to care for one another, to treat each other pretty well. And the Bible has a lot to say about hospitality. The scripture, I got the wrong reference there too, Kath. What's going on? That's what happens when I'm working at midnight on stuff. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. From Romans 12:13. Practicing hospitality. When I see practice hospitality, the first passage that came to my mind was Hebrews 13. And it says, keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters. Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers. For by doing so, some people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it. Continue to remember those in prison as if you were together with them in prison, and those who are mistreated as if you yourselves were suffering. And I think part of practicing hospitality is putting yourself in the place of others around you, recognizing that we could easily be in that place of need. We could easily be the one that is feeling left out or ignored or not cared for. And so practicing hospitality is a way of looking around you and saying, who is it that I can bless today? Who can I share the love of Jesus with today? How can I help this world be a better place? Now, every time I've tried that, believe me, I've gotten more back than I've given. It's not something that's going to drain you. If we're practicing hospitality in a way that's draining us, that's not true hospitality. Okay? This concept of loving one another, and going back to Romans 12:10, just a couple verses before 13, be devoted to one another in love, honor one another above yourselves. If we're recognizing that through the power of Jesus, we have the ability to love everybody. We can love the unlovable. We can love ourselves. We can love other people that we wouldn't love normally. And we can practice hospitality or be hospitable to individuals that maybe normally we wouldn't think of trying to do something with them or for them. Some people can put you off a little bit. Sometimes you have to be careful with your olfactory senses when you go into certain situations. Some people, normal life, smell like they just came off the PCT trail and didn't have time for a shower. And it's hard to practice hospitality with people that we don't feel like, okay, this isn't somebody that I want to spend time with. This isn't somebody I want to be next to or near. Some people are chain smokers, and for me, that's a tough thing to be around someone that, even when they're not smoking, if they sat in the car with you, you'd smell their smoke a week later in that car. And how do we practice hospitality with people that it's like, okay, this doesn't feel natural or normal or real. And it's easy to practice hospitality with people. We look around, it's like, oh yeah, I like them, they're friends, I know them, I trust them, we have spent a lot of time together, we have a lot in common. Those kind of people, it's easy to just embrace and bring into your circle. But when Scripture talks about loving, it goes all the way to loving your enemy. And God wouldn't ask us to do that if he didn't give us the ability to do it. Practicing hospitality, sharing with others. Sharing what? Well, we're sharing our time. We're sharing our resources, whatever they are. But I think more often than not, most people, all they need is just somebody to care about them and love them. Sometimes somebody that isn't taking care of themselves, the reason they're in that situation in life is because they don't feel cared for. And they don't even like themselves. And until they can see the love of Jesus, it's going to be difficult for them to be motivated to do something about changing who they are. We don't love them because we want them to change. We love them because God loves them. God loves us when we're unlovable. And he gives us the strength and the ability to do that with others. oftentimes Scripture doesn't ask us to do something easy. This concept of maybe you're entertaining angels without knowing it. There were a few times in the Old Testament where angels would kind of show up and chat with Abraham or somebody, and it's like he never was 100% sure until they did something miraculous in front of him. But it's like, do we know the people around us well enough to know, is this somebody that God's placed in this community as an angel just to see what it's going to be like? We're sharing with the Lord's people who are in need. Now, who are the Lord's people? There's maybe a question, because sometimes when I read a verse like this, I'm thinking, oh good, I'm off the hook. I don't have to share with that person because they couldn't possibly be one of the Lord's people because they're not like me. And it's like, wait a minute, our heads can rationalize all kinds of stuff. Unless somebody's blatantly violating every law in Scripture, they could still be the Lord's people. And even some of those that are, when I look at King David, adultery, murder, I mean, you start going down the list of sins, man after God's own heart. He was one of the Lord's people. Moses kills a guy. One of the Lord's people. Paul, standing around, they're stoning people to death just because they're Christians. He's one of the Lord's people. So we're not the ones that get to decide, okay, this one is not worthy of my attention. This one's not worthy of my hospitality. There's, now, you get people that come into your life and they try to demand hospitality, and they'll play the Christian card on you. Yeah. Had somebody this week say, well, yeah, a real Christian brother would do this, and it's because they wanted something. And they'd go to their neighbors and couldn't get it, so then they'd come to the pastor and try to get it. And when you're starting to run around demanding things, that's kind of hard to practice hospitality with that. But then, are we off the hook just because we can find a level of, okay, I still need to listen to God. What is going to be the best way to practice hospitality with this person? With who they are right now and where they are today? Because they still have some needs. It says, share with the Lord's people who are in need. Well, clearly, if somebody's running around trying to demand attention, they're in need. Giving into their need might not be the best way to help them. Do we love people enough that we can accept them, embrace them, and bring them into your circle without approving of their behaviors? Because sometimes people need to look at me and say, I don't approve of that behavior. Thank you, Kathy. Sometimes she'll point out to me, you know, those are not kind words. That's not something you should say. And I say, oh, I'm just being silly or sarcastic. Oh, that's not okay. You know, it's like our daughter had a really close friend. And she was one of those that just any time somebody said something that didn't seem quite kind, it's like, that didn't seem nice. And she'd just say it with the sweetest smile. Unfortunately, she died on I-5 between high school and college, head-on collision. But, you know, it's like we have these people in our lives that are willing to love us enough to tell us when we're wrong. And so practice hospitality doesn't mean let the world walk over you. Practice hospitality doesn't mean that everybody that comes to you with a demand or a request gets their way. So we have to be discerning, and that's a tough thing too. How do we include, how do we embrace, how do we draw people into the circle of Jesus Christ, into his family, without judgment, but also without validation of their negativity? Fine line there. It's kind of tough because, you know, not everybody needs to get their own way. It's not always healthy. I've watched families where these little kids are controlling the entire family and they're just kind of bossing their parents around. So that's not healthy. How do we practice hospitality and how do we share with the Lord's people that are in need? We have to recognize the needs. That means you have to be around other people. It's easy for Kathy and I, both of us are kind of introverts. We'd be happy to, and that's maybe part of why we didn't say, hey everybody, we're going to try to decorate. Because it's easier to just kind of do stuff by yourself sometimes. But you know, there's a time and a way to bring other people into your circle. And we've got to be around other people before we're going to know what their needs are. I can't share with people if I don't know people. There's a little story in Matthew. When the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the angels with Him, He will sit on His glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on His right and the goats on His left. This is from Matthew 25, starting in verse 31. Then the king will say to those on His right, "Come, you who are blessed by My Father. Take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world." I love that God knew us before the creation of the world, that He's prepared a place for us. He's been preparing that place much longer than He took to create the earth. 7-day earth creation, boom, 6 days, and then He rests on the seventh day. He's been spending a few thousand years before creation, up till now, preparing a place for us in heaven. I can't imagine how spectacular, how wonderful that's going to be. Pretty cool. "For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me." Well, then the righteous will answer Him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go visit you?" The king will reply, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me." They practiced hospitality. When you go to the book of 1 John, it talks about how you're going to know that someone's a Christian by the way they act. If you don't love your brothers and sisters, I think I even have that in here, don't I? Yeah, there we go. 1 John 4:19-21, "We love because He first loved us. Whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. And He's given us this command, anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister." So the way we treat the people around us, the way we treat the ones that God puts in our lives, is going to show whether or not we're in Christ. If you're in Christ, the natural thing is that you're going to have Holy Spirit fruit. And Holy Spirit fruit is going to include things like hospitality, giving to one another, sharing with each other, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, all of these things. And true believers, that's just who they are. So when Jesus says, "I'm going to put you over here and I'm going to put these goats over here and whatever," it's not like he's saying, "Okay, good works is going to get you into heaven. Here's your salvation plan. Do a lot of good stuff." Because that's not truly practicing hospitality. Like I said, it's easy for us to do the right thing with the wrong attitude. We can even know what the right thing is and go and do it and kind of grumble in our spirit the whole time. But truly practicing hospitality is going to build us up. It's going to lift us up. It's going to cause us to be closer to God, closer to those around us. When we're sharing with brothers and sisters, we don't lose out. That brother-sister time, it builds you up. It lifts you up. And then, so when we're at the throne, and God's saying, "Okay, it's judgment time. Here's what we're going to do. All of you that have been in Christ, you're over here. How do I know you're in Christ? Well, you took care of people when they were in need. Somebody was thirsty and you gave them something to drink. They were hungry and you gave them food. They needed clothes and you clothed them. They needed a visit. They just needed an embrace and you gave them what they needed because you were practicing hospitality, because that's who you are, because you're in Christ." Now, if you're not doing all those things, you're not in Christ. Go over with the goats. We'll talk to you later. There's a whole other section after this if you want to read past that. After verse 40, in Matthew. You start in 41 and continue on. It's like these people are, well, when did we not feed you? When did we not clothe you? They thought they were doing all these good works. And he says, when you didn't do it to the least of one of these, you didn't do it to me. So, another place I go when I think about hospitality, there's this section at the end of Proverbs where it talks about a wife of noble character. It's like the perfect woman, and there's a long description. And a lot of it is that this lady makes her family look good, takes good care of her family, makes things, clothing and all that sort of stuff. It's always, there's food on the table, she's into real estate, she's buying and selling vineyards, she's doing all this stuff. She really takes good care of everybody around her. But one of the verses, this wife of noble character who can find, she's worth far more than rubies. In verse 20 it says, she opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. She's not just taking care of her own. Part of this noble woman character is she's taking care of others around her that are in need. She's practicing hospitality. She recognizes that it's not just her family that builds community. There's community all around. She's exchanging things with merchants. She's making goods and selling them. She's sending stuff out in ships. I mean, this is a lady that is aware of what's going on all around her. She's probably not an introvert. But even introverts can learn to get out there in the community and hang out with people and learn to love it. And it actually, at a point, it starts building up.
Becoming more natural.
Character, it becomes more natural. It gives us strength rather than sucking strength. Sometimes a true introvert's like, okay, I've been with people for 10 minutes. I've got to find a quiet spot. I've been there. Other times it's like Kathy's wondering, why don't you just come home? Because I'm hanging out in front of the tavern and chatting with Bob or something. And, you know, he's got stories to share. And part of his life goal is to put a smile on everybody's face before he goes to bed. And so he'll tell the worst jokes. And it's just, he's got this ability, though, to get you smiling. And even as he's getting ready to pop back into the tavern, and he looks up the street and he says, I don't know why they ever put sidewalks in this town. There's a group of about 15 people walking up the middle of the road. And then we had a little longer chat about all the different people in town that refuse to use the sidewalks. These are locals that have lived here before the sidewalks. I'm not going to use those sidewalks. What do we need sidewalks for? None of you have ever heard any of that, right? Yeah, it's kind of... practicing hospitality and hanging out with people, and all of a sudden you realize it can be fun to have other people in your circle. It doesn't have to be just me and Jesus. You know, I don't need to be a guru up on the top of a mountain somewhere and hiding out in a cave. We can actually spend time with one another and enjoy it. And then maybe at some point even desire it. I don't know if I've quite gotten there yet, but... yeah, it's fun to be with people, and it's nice that you can include others in your circle and you can be included in theirs. And that's really what this verse is all about. It's sharing with the Lord's people who are in need. First of all, if we know that the Lord's people could include just about anybody, there's very few people that you can look at and say, absolutely, this is not one of the Lord's people. And I don't know that that's ever going to be our call. And then the second part of that, people in need. Do you know anybody that's not in need? We all have different needs, don't we? There's times where we mask it pretty well, especially as Westerners, as Americans. We can make it look like we've got it all together, everything's working, it's all good. And then we start looking deeper. It's like, yeah, but there's this little empty spot. How could that get filled? Well, it's only going to be filled in body life. It's Jesus' plan was that his people be together. His twofold command that covers all of the commands. Love God with your whole heart, mind, soul, purpose, full being. Love your neighbor as yourself. That implies that you love yourself, and that sometimes is the first step for people. They don't love themselves. Why wouldn't they? Well, maybe they haven't had people around them drawing them in and practicing hospitality. So I'm giving all of us an assignment for this week. Find somebody that you can practice hospitality with. We don't have to go very far. You can go across the street. A couple different houses across the street. You can go next door. You can go to any one of the businesses in town here and just hang out a little bit. You don't have to go searching very far. Most of you probably have somebody in mind already that you could think of that, yeah, they could use a little extra encouragement, a little extra that a girl, that a boy, whatever. It's like, and even the ones that look like they've got it all together and things are going well, can we encourage them too? We don't want them to lose that. Good communities need those people that look like everything's working. And even though everything may look like it's working well, there's got to be a way you can come alongside and encourage and help that become even better. We're changing from glory to glory, Scripture describes. It's not like, okay, we've arrived. Mm-hmm. Nobody's ever at that point. But constantly changing from glory to glory, getting better and better at who we are and what we do. That's what practicing hospitality is all about. Lord, I thank you for your word. I trust that today, this week, this month, the rest of our lives, we're going to be able to grow in your grace and learn to include others and learn to love it and gain energy from it. Thank you, Jesus, that you are the one that changes our hearts and our minds. We so look forward to what this week will bring. And we're grateful that we get to pray in your precious and holy name, Jesus. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen.